From Sewerage City on the Metropolitan Waste Disposal Network, the Bert Movement Show. Here's Bert. Good evening. Welcome. Hello? Pete? Darren? Hello, anybody? Molly? Hello?
Bert Movement, TV idol. A charming man, an amiable man, a man loved and admired by everyone, with a possible exception of television viewers.
Hello?
Γάλατο Μπούρικο Ράδιο ABC. Και θα σε δούμε αύριο με την Τάνι Μπόρντουιν και την Τάλι Πίτερ Σνάλι Πίτερ Βίτσκι, Ντάιν Σμιθ, Πρού Σπέντ, Πιλ Κον, Έντεν Μπόρν, Λέν Σκρέτ, Τζέιν Χάντεσεν, Σίλβια Κάλο. Ουζούκι Μιούζικ Παϊάθα, Γκριν Σλέντ και την Μπόντα Broadcasters και το Γουίλι Κουά, Δεύ Κόλτον Φαουντάισον, Mysterious Vocals by Terry Legain, Valentine Ρας και Τάνι Πέτικοτ, αλλά meanwhile we're slightly out to lunch.
Bubble, boil and trouble, cause trifecta and daily double, bladder of newt and head man in clay, let's open a Chinese takeaway.
Hang about, what are we doing this for?
Oh, look, it's here in the book, How to Start Your Own Coven. Invoke the powers of darkness in 6 easy lessons. Mm. Here we are. Find a windswept heath and chant the following 7 times.
Oh, I feel really dumb wearing Mum's curtains.
No.
Can't we skip that bit? What comes next?
Well, we have to invoke the Prince of Darkness.
Well, how do we do that?
Well, hold the torch still there. It says here we have to try and get in touch with him.
Who?
Satan.
Has it got his number there?
No. We have to get in touch with him by performing dark deeds. We have to get an animal that Satan will possess, either a black cat or a horned toad.
But there's no black cats in this street. There's only Miss Ullinshed's old tabby.
Oh, no, it's been neutered.
Yeah, well, you won't get the tabby out on a night like this. What about Bert's poodle?
Oh, no,
I don't think so. Maybe we'll just skip that bit.
Well, what happens next?
We drink goat's blood.
Oh, yuck, I'm not drinking goat's blood.
No.
I've got a New Zealand port in the car. It's pretty close.
We better get that then.
And then what?
Then we sacrifice you as an offering to Satan.
We can't do that. What a waste.
But it says here, if we don't sacrifice the virgin... You are a virgin, are you not, Di?
Technically, yes.
Mm, okay, good. If we don't sacrifice the virgin, we can't have the orgy afterwards.
The orgy?
We take off all our clothes.
Take off our clothes? Oh, it's raining.
The orgy's compulsory.
Yeah, but we're all members of Rotary and you've got a plastic hip, haven't you, Arthur?
Yes, but it's a very nice one. Mm. Oh, dear.
Look, I've had enough of this. I'm going home.
No,
I've got to wash my hair.
Fred, Di, please, wait a minute.
All right.
What about invoking the powers of darkness?
Okay.
Hubble, bubble, toil and trouble, cause trifecta and daily double. Tell us all and tell us now, Prince of Darkness, take a bow.
Richard Moorcroft with the National...
Oh, my God!
Horrible, horrible.
Nice jacket.
Channel 14, in association with the Acme Internal Trust Company and Trimboli Temperance Taverns, proudly present the Terry Legon Melody Hour. And here he is, the Caruso of Camden Town, your very own Terry Legon!
Hello! You're marvellous, I love you, wonderful, wonderful people.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. Want to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping,
what's Maria Callas doing?
Τι έπαθες βρε, πώς σε λένε?
You told me you were getting Olene Brown.
Πού είναι το, πού είναι το κεφάλι σου?
Yeah, I know.
Θα σε δούμε, ας το διάβλο βρε.
Who didn't?
Τι έπαθες?
Yeah, but that was yesterday.
Αύριο. Δεν καταλαβαίνω. Καληνύχτα.
Well, why didn't you say that in the first place?
Come on, Terry, get down. Opera's raiding right now. Look, it cost me a fortune to break Athena Mosaka's and Daxi contract. Okay, guys, one more time.
In restless dreams I walked along.
Terrific. Cue the hang gliders.
Narrow streets of cobblestone.
A camera two panned down to Terry's wooden leg.
Neath the halo of a street lamp,
my big boy,
I turned my collar to the cold and
stabbed by the flash of a neon light. Slit the night and touch the sound of silence.
Not that silent, Terry. Terry! Oh, Christ. Somebody wake him up.
With building...
And if you cut down on the watering from now until the plant flowers, this will force more resin into the flowering part so that by March you should be able to harvest a good 50 or 60 joints from it.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, man.
My pleasure.
We've got time for just one more caller on gardening talkback. One more caller on any gardening topic. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. Is that you, Brian?
Yes, it is. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Brian. I'm hoping you can help me with a bit of trouble I'm having with a tree.
Yes, and what sort of tree is it? A gum tree or a fruit tree or something?
No, a family tree.
Ah. And what seems to be the problem?
Well, I'm having trouble with one of the branches. My cousin Emma's family, actually. I think they've gone rotten.
You sure?
Oh, yes. You only have to look at them. Stunted growth, off colour, leaning to the left in a most disturbing manner.
And you're afraid the branch will infect the rest of the tree?
Yes.
Have you tried pruning it?
Yes, I took the secateurs to Cousin Betty, but she was too quick for me.
Now, sounds like you need a strong fungicide, then.
No, they caught me slipping that into their coffee.
Well, I'm afraid the only answer, then, is you'll have to cut the branch off altogether.
How do we do that?
Just call up a family tree surgeon. They're in the book. And he'll cut it off for you.
Isn't it messy?
Oh, no. He simply surgically removes the offending limb from any family gathering, social functions, wills, and the like. And for a small extra fee, he can graft it onto another family tree altogether.
And that's all there is to it?
Oh, yes. Quite painless.
Oh, well, that's marvellous. Thank you so much, Brian. You've saved us a lot of bother. Hey, Harry, you can put it away. We don't need the chainsaw after all.
Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. You've been a wonderful audience. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, what a crowd.
Tough, were they?
Tough. They were worse than a bunch of Philistines on a slow Sabbath. Did my best act, too. The creation of heaven and earth. You should have seen it. In the beginning, the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. Great stuff. None of you pulling a rabbit out of a hat.
And how did it go?
Awful. Not a murmur. I mean, Monday night's always a bit slow, but at least when I get to the creation of night and day, you know,
let there be light, and there is light.
Yeah.
That wakes them up a bit. And the special effects generally get a good hand, yeah, but not tonight.
Oh, why not?
I don't know. I tried everything. Creating land, creating sea, letting the earth bring forth swarms of living creatures, making man in my own image, that usually gets a laugh. But I didn't get so much as a chuckle tonight. I even performed the whole act of creation in one show, instead of spreading it over six like I usually do. But nothing seemed to impress them.
Well, it's your modern audiences, isn't it, eh? Overstimulated. It takes more and more to impress them. Personally, I blame Steven Spielberg.
Maybe. So what are you going to do then? The usual act, a bit of leading them into temptation, a few flashy diseases, and then once around the dance floor with the seven deadly sins.
Nah, not with this crowd. They'd laugh me off the stage. Nah, I'm going to have to go for the big one tonight.
Yeah? What's that?
Armageddon. It'll slay them.
Hey, kids, it's you little snots, over here. Arrogance of Paris, Toy Division, presents Murora Megaton Man. Your neighbor's backyard will never be the same. Wind Murora Megaton Man up, and in no time at all, they'll have a real backyard, Bobby, no? Megaton Man is a blast.
Mr. Wallace, is it? Won't you come in?
Oh, thanks. There's no problem with my benefits, is there? I have been looking for work. Just this week, I've been for interviews at United Flange and Sprocket, the Wizzo Novelty Plumbing Company, Wilson Ward and Wobbett of West...
No. We appreciate the efforts you've been making, and we may have some good news for you. We may have found you a job.
Oh, great.
It's only temporary at the moment, but it could develop into something long-term if you apply yourself.
Oh, that's fine by me. I'll take anything. What is it? Factory work? Sales?
It's working at the zoo. You do like animals, don't you?
I love them. I once had a pet snake named Norris. Until he ran away from home. Slithered, actually.
Oh, good. But you'll be working with the monkeys.
Cleaning our cages? I don't mind.
No. You'll be with the monkeys. You see, they were expecting a greater crested Burmese macaque from San Diego Zoo, but they think it caught the wrong plane at Honolulu, so they'll need a stand-in.
You mean they want me to dress up in a monkey suit?
Oh, they'll provide the suit, but you may have to paint your bum purple.
What kind of job is that?
Well, the pay is quite reasonable. Accommodation is free. Your food's thrown in constantly.
This is unbelievable. Just because I'm unemployed, people seem to think they can treat me like an animal. As if the humiliation of living on the dole isn't enough. Now you're all trying to turn me into some kind of performing monkey.
No, it's not like that at all. You'll be head of the troop.
What?
Consider it a supervisory position. Almost junior management. Oh. I've been assured they're an exceptionally nice group of apes.
I'm not going to do it. You can cut off all my benefits if you like, but there are some things that are more important to me. My human dignity, job satisfaction, and the feeling that I am contributing to society as best I can.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had no idea you felt so strongly. How about this job, then? Demonstrating Desmond the Duck double bubble bubble bath in the window at Myers.
Now that's more like it.
The seas, around the globe, out of the outback, and into your local theater. It's the Cooey Newsreel.
The snow-covered steppes of Russia, and these intrepid hunters from the Beria School of Taxidermy go out in search of that most elusive of beasts, the Great Siberian Yeti. By special permission, our Cooey cameras are on the spot to record the capture of the mighty animal. And there it is, shuffling out of a snowdrift. A vast creature covered in fur with the texture of badly cut serge. Its mouth hidden by a huge walrus moustache. As the hunters surround it with their special motorized ropes, the beast staggers up on its hind legs and gives a mournful cry. Nyet, nyet, it howls. Nyet, nyet. The historic capture of the Great Siberian Yeti, filmed on the spot in the snowy steppes of Russia. Exotic Thailand. And here in Phat Phat, the ancient hill capital, we see a time-honored Buddhist custom, the smuggling of the sticks. Men with ceremonial guns hurry the bundles of sticks through the back streets, avoiding the traditional warriors of the king, whose task in days gone by was to seize the stick smugglers and throw them into dungeons. No one seems to know the origin of this quaint ritual of old Siam, but it's still performed with all the gusto of a bygone age. Bang! One of the smugglers fires his gun, and a royal warrior falls. Yes, it's all great fun. The colorful smuggling of the sticks in the hills of exotic Thailand. Central Australia, and a new challenge for adventurer Daryl Bunyan, who will attempt to cross the Simpson Desert on his head. A special roller skate, complete with inverted crash helmet, has been prepared for Daryl's grueling trip. Because of the blistering heat of the day, our headstrong hero will journey only at night. And as an added challenge, he's decided to travel without headlights. He's ready. A pretty girl breaks a bottle of champagne over his knees, and he heads off into the gloom at a cracking pace. Look out for that rock. Oh dear, it looks like this trip could be a real headache for Daryl Bunyan, Australia's adventurer extraordinaire. Grand Canyon, and success at last for a small acoustics company run by expatriate Sydneysider Jeff Banquo. They've just succeeded in producing an incredible sound, a human belch that can be heard for 10 kilometers. Other big noises in the audio pipeline include the persistent clucking of hens, the screeches of fighting cats, and the shattering roar of a jackhammer on a concrete pavement. Another belch echoes away across the mighty canyon as Jeff smiles for the Cooey cameras. We're proud of you, Jeff. Stay away just as long as you like. The Cooey Newsreel. Across the globe, out of the outback, and into your theatre.
Margaret, we could be so good for each other.
Doctor,
call me Steve.
Steve,
I don't
Margaret,
think...
Margaret, we could paint this town red. We could have...
Excuse me, sir.
What is it, waiter?
You're wanted urgently on the phone.
Tell them I'll call them back. Margaret,
I'm
baby.
Sorry, sir, but there's been a very bad accident.
Oh, how awful.
I said I'd call them back, waiter.
Yes, sir.
Margaret, honey, I could show you the moon in New York City. Trust me.
Doctor, I mean Steve.
Excuse me, doctor, but your house is burning down. And your wife, she's...
Well,
she's...
What?
She's dead.
Oh, no.
Look, I told you before not to bother me. Now, go away and bring me back a bottle of Chateau Lafite 63.
Yes, sir.
But Steve, that's awful.
Okay, make that a bottle of Spumante.
What's the use of staying alone in your home? Come, here's the music.
No, not boom. Play. Where's my chocolate?
And now it's time for our weekly Pets Corner with our regular veterinary consultant, Bruce Losis. Welcome, Bruce.
Hello, it's nice to be with you again, and as usual, I'm speaking to you from my busy surgery here in the clinic at Greenwich Hills. And this week's letter comes from little Tracy Socket of Smogview. It's hard to see where things are headed out that way, isn't it, Tracy? And you write, Dear Bruce... My friend Jane has an Irish wolfhound, and he is lovely. His coat is all furry, and he is very huge, with huge teeth. When he jumps up, he can reach over my head. My mum says he is a ruddy nuisance, but I would love to have a dog like him. Well, Tracy, I have to admit I have a soft spot for the Irish wolfhound myself. They tend to be very demonstrative animals, and... They're reassuringly large if you happen to live in an area where there's a lot of mugging and burglary, etc. However, your mother's response to your enthusiasm intrigues me, Tracy. I'd be interested to know how your father feels about it, too, but since you don't mention him, I assume he's left home. Or has he? Isn't that the real reason your mum doesn't want an inquisitive dog around the place? A dog that might go digging up the flower beds or a certain place behind the incinerator, for instance? Have you noticed how your mother has roped that off, pretending to grow passion fruit there, Tracy? It's a futile effort in a place like Smogview, as we all know, so what has she got to hide? I think in your heart of hearts you know the answer, Tracy, don't you? The reason she doesn't want an Irish wolfhound or any other kind of dog sniffing and digging there is because... Bits and pieces of your poor dad are buried there. I don't say all of him. Probably just the head and the arms. The rest of him, the torso and the legs, they're probably in the swamp down by the railway bridge. Don't go looking for them, dear, will you? Because you might fall in and get sucked under. And don't dig up the passion fruit vines either. Let the forensic squad do that. They're used to grisly remains, after all. It's a shame you can't have a dog now, Tracy, but look at it this way, dear. When your mum has been locked up in the asylum for the criminally insane and you go to live with your Auntie Beryl at Shark Harbour, then you can have a dog, because she's got a great big backyard there right on the cliff, hasn't she? All right, Tracy, thank you for your letter, and now this is Bruce Losis saying goodbye till next time, and please remember... People who don't like pets usually have a sinister side to their nature.
Arrogance of Paris and the House of Mitterrand are proud to announce the arrival of the stunning Muroa summer range of lead-lined fashion. It's the edge of the new summer, a uniquely Australian summer. A summer that, for some reason, in recent years, finds itself constantly being invaded by winter. The look is nouveau, Muroa nervosa. The feel is devastating. And the price you pay is like nothing else on earth. Nothing else on earth. Nothing else on earth. Nothing else on earth.
Good morning. How can slap and tickle insurance brokers help you?
My TV doesn't work.
Ah, yes?
And I'd like to claim on it.
Ah, just because your television doesn't work, Mr. Goodbody, doesn't mean you can claim on it.
Yeah, well, you see, it was the burglars.
The burglars?
Yeah, I reckon they came in, watched the late movie, and this ruined the picture.
They came in to watch a movie, but surely burglars steal televisions, not stay up and watch them.
Yeah, but you see, the TV was still there in the morning. That's what made me think they sat in front of the film instead.
So I take it that you heard these burglars?
No.
Then how do you know there were any burglars at all?
Oh, well, I don't really know, but see, there was a Jimmy Cagney film on, and I put two and two together and we'll...
I'm afraid, Mr. Goodbody, that your story sounds a bit suspect and thus invalidates your claim.
No, wait on. Come to think of it, what could have caused a problem with the telly was that flaming comet.
Pardon?
Halley's Comet. Yeah, that's the problem. It's got to be it. You see, back in 1910, my grandfather had this terrific problem getting his greyhound to sleep in the laundry, and we all reckon it was because it was the year of the comet, and it seems to follow that our TV doesn't work for exactly the same reason.
Yes. Look, I'm afraid that that load of old bull won't help you either, Mr. Goodbody.
Actually, to be honest with you, it was last night's earthquake what caused the damage.
Please, I have other people waiting.
It's true, I swear.
Mr. Goodbody, the earthquake you are referring to occurred in Tokyo.
So?
This is Perth, Mr. Goodbody.
Oh. Come to think of it, do you remember World War One? Sarajevo, 1914.
Sorry, Mr. Goodbody. Yesterday it was the Taiping Rebellion, the day before the Norman invasion of England, and well, I'm afraid that once again I cannot give you your claim.
Same time tomorrow, then?
Oh, I suppose so. While you're here, you might as well take this box of claim forms.
Oh, thanks, Irving. Bye.
Okay, bye, Robbie.
To be as happy as the possums in the tree, till the man who sold insurance made a nervous wreck of me. He followed me persistently, and if I'm put away, the bloke who sold insurance made me what I am today. Oh, there's no one with endurance like the man who sells insurance. He's everybody's best friend. He will follow you and phone you, eventually he'll own you, he gets a solid DM. One day at Bondi Beach, when I had gone in for a swim, a bloke swam up beside me, it was no one else but him. Said he to me, I'm glad to see you love the ocean's waves, but our 20-year endowment is the only way to save. Oh, there's no one with endurance like the man who sells insurance. He's everybody's best friend. Of God or crash repair shop, his proposals are the real top. He gets a solid the end. Today I saw him coming, so I quickly climbed a tree. But Wayne Insurance saw me, and he climbed up after me. Said he to me, up in the tree, I'm fond of nature too. But our home and video cover is the policy for you. Oh, there's no one with endurance like the man who sells insurance. He's everybody's best friend. The harder that you make it, believe me, he can take it. He gets a solid in the end.
Goldschottler, please sit down.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Now then, the board and I just wanted to have an informal chat with you about last night's news broadcast. I see from your file you've been a newsreader with this station now for 15 years.
That's right, sir, yes.
Very impressive. Now then, last night you began the news with a story about two Albanian armored camel divisions landing in the Gulf of Carpentaria and annexing Inamica.
Yes, sir.
That was a complete fiction, wasn't it, Goldschottler?
Yes, it was.
I see. What about the destruction of Switzerland by a massive tidal wave?
Untrue, sir.
I thought so. What about the item announcing an increase in the price of petrol to $15 a milliliter?
A fabrication, sir.
Let's see. What else? There was the declaration of total war between Russia and the United States, the collapse of the international banking system, the disappearance of Ecuador in the Bermuda Triangle, and St. Kilda winning the VFL.
Well, a certain flexibility in regard to the truth, I must admit, sir.
In other words, you made it all up?
Yes.
Do you have an explanation, Wolf Rottler?
I was bored, sir.
Bored?
Well, there wasn't much in the way of real news, mainly politics, and I thought it might liven up the program.
Volthrottler, you've caused widespread panic across the whole country, including in Aminka. Toppled two governments, wiped 478 points off the share market, and engineered one of the worst traffic jams the city's ever seen.
Sorry?
Sorry? Sorry, my dear fellow, last night's ratings printout gives your news a 34, crushing all rival programs, including Channel 14's rerun of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. We're hoping you'll accept a seat on the board, this key to the executive massage parlor, and my personal platinum coke spoon. Congratulations, Volthrottler.
Oh, thank you very much, sir.
Master Wong, Master Wong.
What is it, Grasshopper?
It is my tunic, Master. It is stained.
Oh, fear not, Grasshopper. Are you a Bariva?
I do not know.
Do you believe that half a mile can get the stain out in the pond without soaking?
Again, Master, I do not know.
What, Grasshopper? A third of a cup on the stain and a last in the pond.
But, Master, my best tunic.
Look, Grasshopper, is it not whiter than Mali Osman's teeth?
But, Master, it was brown before.
Oh, does this mean that you won't be using half a mile, Grasshopper?
Is Buddha my idol?
Yes, darling. See you at 7.
Psst. Ask her if she's got a friend for me. Shh.
Bye-bye, darling.
Ask her if she's got a friend.
Bye. Will you shut up when I'm on the phone?
Why didn't you ask her if she had a friend?
Because you're a hippopotamus.
So?
Janet does not have any friends who want to go out with a hippopotamus.
Snobs.
It's nothing to do with snobbery. Girls are just not turned on by hippos.
It's because I've got big feet, isn't it?
It's nothing to do with your feet.
You don't have to protect me.
I'm not protecting you. I refuse to turn up on a blind date with a hippopotamus.
Why?
Because you look ridiculous in those designer jeans.
Which ones?
The blue ones with the canvas belt.
I'll get rid of them.
It's not just the designer jeans. It's the sunglasses as well. The hot pink ones with the white stripes.
I'll throw them out right now.
And the gold identity bracelet.
I'll never wear it again. Can I come?
No, it's no good. Won't work. I'm sorry.
Where are you going?
I promised to meet Janet at 7.
You're going without me?
Yes.
You only want me here because I pay half the rent.
It's got nothing to do with it. I've got a lot of affection for you.
Oh.
Look, I'll bring you back a new Donnell shirt and a pair of Speedo bathers.
And some aftershave.
Oh, all right.
And some mud.
Glorious mud. Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Vous venez de manger Slack et Atulanche avec une recette traduite par Stavrola et préparée par Tony Baldwin, Kevin Daly, Colin Bowles, Peter Smalley, Ken Matthews, Steve Johnson, David Witt, Rick Davies, Malcolm Lees, Robert Caldwell et le grand Adam Bowen. Hors d'œuvre musicale, Arthur Grimsley, coproduction couille, Robert Parker, menu rédigé par Julianne Ford, à la cuisine Linda Hughes et Sylvia Keller, pâtisserie par Hélène Virel et Vincent Rennes, chef cuisinier Warwick Mabert, maître d'hôtel Kevin Daly et Tony Baldwin pour ABC Fast Food.
Thank you for calling. The office is unattended at the moment, but if you would like to leave a message, please proceed to the War Memorial and walk 35 paces north. There you will see a man wearing a trench coat and a wide-brimmed fedora hiding behind the third tree on the left. Ignore him and proceed on foot to the Opera House and walk up 39 steps. On the wall on your left, there is a small crack between the third and fourth bricks on the second row. Place your message there, and we will get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you for calling ASIO.
Hey, Goodrick, why are we tapping our own answer phone service?
You never know, mate. It could be bugged.